The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for the Thunderbolts.
The terrorists are coming! The terrorists are coming! We must trash your most basic core civil liberties, and we must trash your constitution, and you must give up your privacy rights, and you must let us spend a quadrillion dollars on defense, and you must let us mass murder civilians in the Middle East, because the terrorists are coming! Be afraid! Be terrified! You must give us a blank check to do anything we want to do, because the terrorists are coming!
Hey, dude!
Yes? Can I help you?
Dude, you need to chill the hell out. Over the last 15 years, there have been almost 1,000 Americans killed by medical mistakes for every single one that has been killed by a terrorist. Americans literally face about the same chance of being killed by a terrorist as they do of being struck by frigging lightning.
Well, really? Oh, well, okay, never mind.
Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, when one day you tuned into KOWA 106.5 in Olympia, Washington, or streaming at KOWALP.org, and suddenly you were struck by a thunderbolt!
Good morning, Olympia! It's time to wake up! You better grab that cup of coffee, because Olympia is about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Yep, here it comes.
Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your weekly guide to political activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary. I have a calendar of all the activist-related events in Thurston County this week. I have kick-ass music, and I have dumb jokes. So off of the couch and into the streets, Olympia. It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse. I do hope the apocalypse will wait till I have had a cup of coffee, though.
All right, welcome to the Thunderbolt for April 26th, 2019. I have some reruns for you this week, and Olympia listeners, please note I do not have an activist events calendar for you this week, as I needed a break for personal reasons. Enjoy the show. Good morning, afternoon, or evening. It is August 19th, 2016, and I hope you're ready, because here we go. Here's the Thunderbolt. I try to always get to the heart of the matter, and I try to always ignore and or expose distractions for the misdirection that they usually represent. Now, while I come at them from a large variety of directions, there are actually only a small handful of central themes that I have been hitting on over and over ever since I've been producing this radio program. Recent police-involved shootings encapsulates so many of these central themes that I don't even know where to start.
demilitarization of the police, the effectiveness of grassroots organizing, questioning who, if anyone, should be subjected to gun control laws, or since a couple of folks decided to start shooting back at the police, should I revisit the strategy of having completely separate activist groups simultaneously using both nonviolent and ultraviolent tactics at the same time, thus forcing the machine to accommodate the relatively reasonable nonviolent people so that they don't have to recognize any of the more radical demands being made by the crazy bomb throwers? And please note that the entire conversation changed as soon as a bunch of cops got shot. And there was actually some bipartisan noise from, quote, lawmakers about finally dealing in a, quote, real way with America's, quote, race problem. Since the Dallas shootings, I have heard several prominent right-wingers say things that they would have been run out of town on a rail had they said them even just a few months ago. But the fact is that white racists have been murdering black people with near impunity for several hundred years now. Over the centuries, white people have intentionally bred a super race amongst them. And now they are utterly terrified of them and keeping black people completely dominated and under thumb, and even more importantly, keeping black people themselves believing in the myth of their own inferiority. This has been a top priority for the white power structure ever since they first started importing kidnapped and enslaved Africans. The thing now is that these days, we can film these murders. With the advent of the camera telephone, case after case after case of videos showing cops obviously and blatantly murdering black people have been surfacing. And as a result of these videos, massive nonviolent protests began erupting all over the United States, everywhere on a regular basis, to absolutely no avail. Case after case after case, the cops continued to get away with murdering black people, even though they were actually caught on video doing it. There was even one video showing a cop literally doing a drive-by shooting on a 12-year-old child who had been playing alone in a park with a toy gun. The video clearly shows the patrol car stopping and the cop on the passenger side jumping out of the car and shooting the kid within 2 seconds. There was absolutely no justification or explanation for this action other than outright murder. And even in this case, the cop was not even indicted, much less convicted of anything. In all of these massive protests, and in all of these freeway blockages, and in all of these interruptions of political events and speeches, all seemed for naught. Cops just kept murdering black people on video, and with but a small handful of exceptions, they just kept getting away with it. But then, a bunch of cops got shot in Dallas and in Baton Rouge. suddenly, the entire conversation changed. Evidently, legions of black men being systematically murdered for centuries is acceptable to the American public, but cops getting shot is not. And thus, our quote, race problem finally needs to be, quote, dealt with in a, quote, real manner. Well, I guess it is about time. There has been much commentary on the interweb lately about the many ironies involved in the fact that in a few years, they will be putting Harriet Tubman's face on the $20 bill.
Da liegt's wieder auf dem Küchentisch. Es sind kein Bulle, aber auch kein Fisch. Schaust es an, plötzlich weisst du, das sind Kugeln. Ah, da gruselt jedes Kind.
One of these ironies consists of the fact that this was the very same coinage that was used to purchase Ms. Tubman and all of her relatives. Putting an ex-slave's face on the currency of the slave master is not the only irony here. The current face of the $20 bill,
im Sommer schwimmt's im Swim,
Andrew Jackson,
doch schuf und hasch das Zeug im Maul, im Winter spiegelt's gefroren aus dem Schnee,
was a slave owner.
Das tut weh.
And Mr. Jackson will still have his face on the back of that very same $20 bill that Miss Tubman's face is going to be on the front of.
Wieder mal schleichst du dich am Küchentisch. Siehst kein Bulle und auch kein Fisch. Und auch kein Kuttler, aber auf dem Buffet steht eine riesengroße Schüssel mit Spinat.
The slave and the slave master finally come together on one of America's most infamous symbols. And with the slave occupying the more prestigious position than the slave master, who was an ex-president, no less. I wonder if anyone has checked either of their respective graves yet to see if there are any discernible rolling motions. Who says we aren't making progress?
Ah, yes, here we are. It is the Thunderbolt for October 7th, 2016. So while there are occasional exceptions, generally I find the words of virtually all politicians to be useless lies, and I have no desire to hear anything that virtually any of them may have to say. So in that context, while I also very rarely promote commercial products here in the Thunderbolt, I must say that I am greatly assisted by Bose speakers in my never-ending efforts to ignore the words of politicians. In addition to speaker components that are tiny yet have truly awesome sound, Bose speakers are also the easiest to mute speakers on the market. And I am especially fond of this feature whenever Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, or Donald Trump suddenly appears on my computer screen saying things. For instance, I was away from my mute button just now when Barack Obama came on, and I was forced to listen to him say this.
I have not heard a single persuasive argument for not passing the TPP. But then, I cut him off in mid-word. And FYI, Lawrence Tribe, the legendary Harvard law professor and a man that Barack Obama has referred to as his mentor, is one of hundreds of scholars and experts who have signed a lengthy and detailed letter delineating the numerous reasons why the TPP represents a clear and present danger for the future of humanity. So I must confess, they don't actually use those words, and
why don't we keep the rhythm till bodies die?
And I am encapsulating and exaggerating, but that was the gist of their message. But anyway, both speakers have this handy little remote volume wheel that has the easiest to use mute button that I've ever employed. And I derive great personal pleasure in the ability to cut off our liar in chief in mid-word. And while we're promoting commercial products on the Thunderbolt, Apple will soon release the iPhone 7. Yippee! Now, the main problem that most people seem to have with the iPhone 7 is that there will be no standard headphone jack, and users will be thus forced to either purchase an adapter or go Bluetooth. Now, I also have some problems with the iPhone 7, but I'm afraid that the lack of a headphone jack is rather low amongst those concerns. For instance, one of my problems with the iPhone 7 is that the raw materials for the iPhone 7 are mined by Congolese child slaves. Here's another problem I have with the iPhone 7. Those raw materials are then shipped to China, where they are converted into iPhones by indentured workers who live in such horrendous slave-like conditions that hundreds of them have jumped to their deaths from the top of the factory walls in order to escape. And here's yet another problem I have with the iPhone 7. After the Chinese slaves who did not kill themselves finished assembling your iPhone 7, it is then shipped from China to the United States, where it is sold to you by a retail employee who is paid so little that he or she qualifies for public assistance, even as his or her employer makes more money in a couple of hours than that worker does in an entire year. Other than that, though, I also think that it sucks the iPhone 7 does not have a headphone jack. It was recently revealed that ExxonMobil has known about impending climate change and sea level rise ever since the 1970s. And since the 70s, in fact, ExxonMobil has been building all of their shipping and refining facilities with imminent sea level rise in mind. However, in order to protect their profits and their business model, ExxonMobil not only did not bother to warn us about the coming catastrophe, but they spent tens of millions of dollars lying to us about it and trying to convince us that it was all just a bunch of hooey. As a result of ExxonMobil's actions and subsequent cover-up, our civilization is now like a runaway train without any brakes that is heading down a mountainside toward a bridge that is no longer there. Thanks to ExxonMobil, there are going to soon be several billion people with a B, mostly the poorest and the most vulnerable, who had nothing to do with creating this impending disaster. It will be they who will be paying the most serious price for ExxonMobil's greed and ExxonMobil's deceptions. Makes this truly maddening is that all of it is completely unnecessary. We have the technology and the know-how right now to convert this Earth into a paradise with plenty of everything for everyone. It's just that if everyone started generating their own electricity from locally owned public solar arrays, and if everyone is growing their own vegetables, and if everyone started buying their eggs from their neighbors, and if everyone started manufacturing their own biodiesel out of their own waste in their own backyards, then the machine can't control and manipulate every aspect of our private lives. Which is exactly why they have been so violently resisting doing these doable and necessary measures for so long. That is just sick. I often mention that while people continue to grow and to evolve throughout their lives, a lot of very important stuff gets hardwired into our brains when we are still small children, and even before we are born. I often mention this fact because most people don't seem to take this fact into account when dealing with other people. There are always exceptions to every rule, but certain stimuli will usually produce results that are usually predictable. And in that context, I also often mention the fact that virtually everyone who is in prison for a violent crime was violently abused as a child. I often mention this fact.
The streets reaching up to the open window.
Because most people don't know that fact, even though I personally consider that fact.
Much information leaks in and shoots up my spine.
To be the single most significant fact underlying the whole problem with violence in our culture. Now, serial killers are an exception to this rule.
And dust rises when I set my feet on.
But they are an exception to a lot of rules, so whatever. Anyway, there were some famous experiments back in the 1970s.
I feel okay, I twist my mouth to say what little
is. Wherein a rat would be placed in a cage with nothing but two sources of water.
Cause it's a question of constructing an imitation of conditions. It's a question of constructing an imitation of conditions. To survive, to survive, to survive. Situation.
One of these sources of water consisted of plain water, whilst the other was laced with morphine.
Far away, but I'm missing nothing.
The rats not only almost invariably chose the drugged water, but they tended to keep drinking the drugged water until it killed them. Conclusions were drawn. But then, a researcher at Simon Fraser University named Bruce Alexander headed a team that tried a new twist. rather than placing a rat into an empty cage with no other stimulation whatsoever, the equivalent of solitary confinement.
Full motion, no variation, this need for speed, the notion of commotion.
The researchers instead created a rat heaven.
Anything wrong with the picture?
It's a question.
They put a bunch of rats into a cage together, and then they supplied their rats with ample cheese and other rat delicacies. In addition to colored balls to play with, tunnels to explore, and lots of opportunities to have lots of sex. These rats were also supplied with two water spigots, and one of these spigots also dispensed plain water, whilst the other also dispensed drugs. And yep, you guessed it. Virtually none of these rats ever chose the drugged water. They had better things to do. There are some nuances and exceptions and criticisms of this study, but the core contention has stood the test of time. Personally, I think conclusions can be drawn. So why do we need to keep learning?
Of constructing an imitation of conditions.
Things that we already know.
And as you ponder that question, we're going to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will return in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anybody associated with this radio station. Here's part two. Ah, yes. Here we are again. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for September 16th, 2016. So much of the news is so dispiriting these days that we are always happy to report any good news that happens to come our way. However, I should warn you that while this first story is ultimately good news, some listeners may have concerns over the fact that your nose hairs are the scene of an epic, monumental, ongoing, and thoroughly lethal battle. Yes, kid. It turns out that your humble nose hairs provides an unusually fecund environment for a variety of creatures of the microbial persuasion. Now, while you might be okay with these cute little critters setting up shop inside your nose, the problem is that some of them are quite homicidal. And some of them have absolutely no respect for the human host who supplies their bountiful paradise of snot. Turns out, in fact, that there's a 30% chance that the dreaded MRSA superbug bacteria has set up housekeeping in your snot locker, and that they are at this very moment raising their children up there, even as you listen to the Thunderbolt. But never fear, you possessors of noses. We have a brave white knight willing to charge into the melee against these dastardly villains and turn the tide in the battle of the nose hairs. But make no mistake, the fighting is fierce. And
the stakes are high, for this is a fight over prime strategic territory that contains a cornucopia of mucus and rich bacterial fodder. And in some cases, these bacteria are also subject to regular injections of cocaine, meaning that the stakes may literally be high. The BBC is reporting that by studying the casualty figures in this battle, some German researchers may have found an entirely new class of antibiotics that may prove effective against the new superbugs in general and against MRSA in particular. Yippee! Now, the last time that an entirely new class of antibiotics was discovered was back in the 80s. Nearly all previous antibiotics have been derived from bacteria that live in the soil. But these folks are saying that the human body itself is a possible new reserve. Our enemy in the battle for the nose hairs is a type of bacteria called Staphylococcus aureus, which includes the dreaded superbug MRSA. And as I said, MRSA bacteria are found in the nose hairs of 30% of the world's population. So why isn't MRSA found in 100%? It seems that we have valiant, if microscopic, allies. According to these scientists, the 70% of the population who do not have MRSA hanging out in their nose hairs have instead a competing bacteria called Staphylococcus leucodunensis that evidently is very good at kicking the asses of Staphylococcus aureus. The scientists are now experimenting and genetically playing with Staphylococcus leucodunensis to make it even badder-ass, and they think they can come up with something to take on MRSA sometime in the fairly near future.
Thank you, good night.
Thank you.
It will be years of tests and trials, but a possible new class of antibiotics that target superbugs, I would say, qualifies as good news. And stay tuned to the Thunderbolt for further developments. Next on the agenda, the Thunderbolt wishes to shine a very dark light upon DARPA. Yes, with all of the secret government agencies that are crawling around up inside your ass crack these days, it is a daunting task trying to keep up with what they are all up to. A lot of people would rather not even think about it. However, I personally object to having fascists up in my arsehole. And so, I am an activist. Anyway, DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Wow. What an innocuous sounding name. It's almost cute. Oh, what a cuddly little DARPA you are. Yes. Anyway, I composed a major thunderbolt a few months ago, pointing out the numerous and miraculous steaming technological breakthroughs that are either about to happen or that are actually happening right now. And I wrote about how it is absolutely vital that we not allow the murderous monsters that currently control our public purse strings to get their nasty little hands upon the powerful new tools that science is about to make available to us. Well, DARPA, it's sort of like the scientific warfare wing of the American military machine. The internet itself is but one of many amazing and numerous DARPA-funded innovations. DARPA represents, DARPA works for, and DARPA is under the complete control of those very murderous monsters that I just mentioned, who currently control our public purse strings. Major irony here is the fact that it is largely DARPA scientists that are doing a lot of the cutting-edge research into a lot of these truly miraculous technologies. Though it is nothing to cheer about. DARPA-funded research projects, in fact, dominate the fields of information technology, biotechnology, and nanotechnology. And those facts alone are truly epically scary. That said, the individual details are even scarier. Amongst the numerous, countless, endless, insanely foul things that your government is experimenting with these days, is that they are creating super soldiers who can withstand thirst, hunger, heat, and privation whilst wielding superhuman strength and endurance. And a complete lack of conscience. Yes, if your soldiers can work 24/7 for long periods of time without sleep, then that would provide your army with a major tactical advantage. Well, another decades-long DARPA-funded research program has consisted of studying whales and dolphins, who are mammals, yet who never sleep. And they discovered that whales and dolphins can rest different lobes of their brains at different times. One part of their brain will be resting while other parts allow them to swim around and to detect danger. And so DARPA is experimenting with adapting this adaptation to those who weren't originally adapted to it. They have also been studying bears and other hibernating creatures in an attempt at adapting soldiers to be able to hibernate.
Ooh, baby, 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 ba
there are a couple of advantages to this. Such soldiers could not only operate without sleep for lengthy periods of time when they are needed, but then they could subsequently be kept in low-cost, low-maintenance storage, so to speak, when they are not in use. Yup. Instant. Super killer. Just remove the package and add hormones. Not only that, but they are about to exponentially expand their capabilities as new tech and new scientific breakthroughs in biology, physics, computing, and genetic manipulation comes down the pipe. They have already created what they call human-machine dyads. Yes, that is, amazingly, exactly what it sounds like. They are combining humans with machines. I know this sounds like Flash Gordon stuff, but do not take it lightly. This is truly serious and very powerful tech that they have been working on for decades. In the late 1990s, i.e., back in the technological stone age, DARPA was already hooking up rats and wirelessly steering them through mazes. In 2014, DARPA-funded researchers at North Carolina State University implanted electrodes into the brains of moths that were still in the pupa state. When the pupa subsequently did their magical transformation thing and turned into moths, this electrode then allowed the researchers to literally steer the moths through flight. This is not futuristic science fiction. They have already done all of this. Stop. And that is also nothing to cheer about. DARPA is also experimenting with a drug called oxytocin, which controls a human's ability to be able to trust, or our ability to deem someone else as an ally rather than as an enemy or a threat. DARPA has already developed electrodes that they can implant into the soldier's body, which allow them direct remote computer interface with certain of the soldier's functions. This means that computers that are hundreds or even thousands of miles away can now monitor and modify the soldier's bodily functions. DARPA has been experimenting with adrenaline, which is the hormone that gives people seeming superhuman strength during times of extreme duress, such as those times when you see a lion about to pounce upon you or even scarier, when you see a cop smiling at you. Dumping a bunch of adrenaline into someone's system does indeed turn that person into a superhuman. Their heart almost instantly becomes a gusher, dumping out several times the normal blood flow, and a small army of super energizer hormones that your body has been storing for just such an emergency are dumped into that gushing blood flow. As suddenly, your brain becomes supercharged, your eyes widen, as your vision is sharpened, and your lungs are like a bellows, as your muscles flex and harden with sudden power. Now, contrary to popular belief, a 97-pound woman cannot lift a car off of her baby. But the difference in performance, both mentally and physically, between your, quote, normal psychological state and that during an adrenaline dump is truly striking. The thing is that, like with most things in the natural world, there is a balance. If you produce either too much or too little adrenaline,
this old man, he played five,
then you have a serious and possibly fatal problem. Too much adrenaline would very quickly burst your heart. Addison's disease, on the other hand, is caused by a lack of adrenaline. Anyway, your brain is constantly monitoring and controlling and balancing these hormones as needed. And messing with those controls that have been so painstakingly developed over so many eons, controls that managed to get every one of our ancestors to every one of the major mass extinctions that this planet has ever experienced. Well, I think that that is not something that anyone should do lightly. Be forewarned, though, that the United States military very rarely pays any heed to my counsel. Anyway, adrenal dumps are meant for special occasions. And just when you overdo almost anything, there is a price to pay when overdoing an adrenal rush. What government researchers are finding is that such dumps are almost invariably followed by an adrenal dump. Come down, wherein the subject, which is their term for a human being, becomes worthless for a lengthy period of time as they recover from their ordeal. There are other areas where your government has been doing things that are so unbelievably foul that many people do not believe me when I describe them, even though there is a plethora of concrete, irrefutable proof if you know where to look. The CIA's infamous MKUltra brainwashing program is probably the best known in this class of atrocity. And even MKUltra is still buried under 10 tons of mystification and surrounded by an acre of obfuscation. This research is the result of the circumstance wherein imperialists and generals throughout history have been plagued by the fact that killing other human beings is a very unnatural act. It is an act that often psychologically breaks normal people, and it is an act that often produces problematic results in survivors. Soldiers having a problem with and or questioning such things as murdering innocent families and or questioning the fact that their lives are being sacrificed for some fake BS reason, such human concerns have also been a thorn in the side of said generals and imperialists and others who view other human beings as prey or fodder, rather than as human beings. Thus, your government is also very interested in sociopaths, i.e., people who can kill without conscience. They are interested in grooming those who are already sociopathic, and they are interested in creating sociopaths out of people who were not originally sociopathic. And even more importantly, they are interested in maintaining complete and total control over their army of sociopathic super killers. And that is their idea of the perfect army.
Damn, son, that sounds like my idea of a perfect nightmare. I think it's time to get to work. All right, you have a good day. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.